Are you going through some changes in your life, actually? Are you at the end of your 30s, beginning of 40s, or end of 20s, beginning of 30s? You understand what I mean? And just trying to find who you truly are and what you want to do and which message you want to spread in the world and what impact you want to make into people's lives. Well, if you want to start your online business, Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast is the right place to be because each week I interview successful entrepreneurs and we have great conversations about a lot of stuff that you need in order to create a successful online business. And if you want to reach out to a community of like-minded people, well, I invite you to join my free Facebook group called Connect, Build, Automate. There, I share a lot of information, mostly on speaking and podcasting, because this is what the group has expressed they want to know more about. But we're always open to listen to other questions and share experience, share wins, share challenges. And you all know, like me, that together we are so much better than alone in our corner. So join my free Facebook group called Connect, Build, Automate. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 221.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
This week, my guest is Joyce Oladipo, and I love that conversation because we really talk about real things authentically and sincerely. And Joyce is very generous because she shares her own story. And you might be experiencing right now what she will describe as a story. And I won't tell you more about it because I want you to listen to the interview. But let's say that we dive in really deep into embracing who you truly are, authenticity, how to make sure that you convert more people and how to make sure to attract the right clients. So it's a very, very not only inspiring interview, but also filled with actionable steps because you know that I like to ask these questions when I receive people on my show because I think that fluffy stuff is not. Of course, it's good for motivation, it's good for inspiration, but it's not necessarily good for you going forward in your business. You need actionable steps. So I make sure that we get that also in the interview and we have a great conversation. So I really think you'll enjoy this one and I'll see you at the back end. What's up, All-Star team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, my guest is Joyce Oladipo. Joyce is the founder of Ancient Life, where she helps women entrepreneurs increase their personal magnetism, captivate raving clients, and get paid their worth. And we all know it's so important. So Joyce, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be joining you live. Oh my God, this is so good.
Yes, and I know reading about you, preparing for this interview, that when you started as a coach, you were actually struggling to get noticed by your ideal clients. And we know that a lot of women entrepreneurs listening right now are struggling getting their ideal clients. So what would you say you have done to shift the situation and start attracting these perfect clients?
Great question. Great question. When I first started out my business, I had no confidence at all. I was just laid off from a full-time job as a security guard after giving birth to my second child. So I was totally devastated. I was looking for something new. And then coaching came, you know, someone told me about coaching. I joined a course, got certified and all that. But one thing that I really noticed was I became a copycat. You know, I was copying my coach. I was copying all the successful coaches out there. that one of the people that was following me told me that I was a mini Fabian. Not you, but it was another Fabian friend of mine that was doing really, really well.
Okay.
You know, and she told me I was a mini Fabian Fredrickson. I was like, oh my God, people can see through the authentic self of me, that they can see that I was copying something else. And that was pretty much the light bulb for me. I knew that people were not taking me on my offer because I was copying someone else. They can see that whatever it is that I was offering, someone else out there was already offering it and probably has more experience than me. And I was trying to be whoever I wasn't. So yeah, I was struggling the very first, maybe 9 months in my business. I was really struggling because I didn't have that identity. I just thought I needed to copy the person that I was learning from, the coaches I hired, or even the lady that helped me with my certification as well. I was copying her as well. And nothing was moving for me. And the thing that really created a shift for me was someone else really telling me that I was a copycat. You know, I was in Paris one day and my husband, he's following me on Facebook, and I'm not too sure he even knew Fabian Fredrickson per se, but he told me, you know what, Joyce, the post that you are posting is not the wife I fell in love with. Why don't you just be yourself on social media and see what happens, you know? And I was like so upset. I was not telling him, you don't know what the coaching industry is about. You're not the one that paid thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, to work with a coach. And, yeah, you know, he was very upset. We dropped the call. And that very night, I decided to journal on who I am as a person. You know, I went back to the source. Who am I? Has a wife, has a friend, has a mother, you know, has, you know, just who am I? Has that person? And why are people drawn to me? Mm-hmm. And that's what created a shift for me. If my husband hadn't brought it to my attention, or some of the potential clients that I was working with, I would still be struggling today.
Yeah. And actually, of course, you were upset at the time, but it was the truth. And you did not stop from saying, well, you don't understand anything. You actually dig deeper to understand who you were and to find out like what you were doing wrong. Because we all know that as online business owners, of course, when you start and you're not really sure about who you are or what you want to do, then you tend to copy someone else that has great success. And as you say, people see it, people feel it. Like there's something, it's not that you're wrong, but it's not you. So it's not you being authentic. So that's why people don't necessarily want to invest more time or more money working with you or stuff like that. So I really, really enjoy you sharing this story with us, because I think a lot of people experience that.
Yeah, exactly. And I also noticed, for me, I'm all about energy. I like to vibrate at a higher vibration. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't really operating from a place of confidence, I felt that I was not in alignment. So I felt that the people that were following me were also seeing that. And it was so exhausting to keep up with an image that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't easy for me to do my marketing. It wasn't easy for me to be on social media, to engage, to write my blog post, to do my emails, to do webinars, to do live streaming. It was frustrating. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't who I am. Exactly. You know, when I'm working from my own zone of genius, it's going to be such a flow, you know. So it was exhausting for me. So I needed to shift things up for me, that if I am really operating from my own zone of happiness, you know, I know that I'll always be in the flow. Even if I'm cooking dinner, I know that ideas are flowing because I'm totally in alignment. I can jot down my ideas and work on it later because I am totally focused and I'm just being myself in my business.
Mm-hmm. And do you find, Joyce, that this is actually the missing ingredient for, let's say, someone looking to develop their uniqueness? Or is it because people are lying to themselves and copying others or not really embracing who they are? Do you think that's the missing link?
That is one of the missing links for sure. They're not really, really believing that they are good enough, you know, that they are good enough to create the impact that they want to create. So that's why a lot of people are copying the coaches they're learning from, or the people they're following on social media, or the people that they're subscribed to. They're copying them, and that's also impacting their business. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, if we know who we are, we're going to be able to create our business from a place of purpose than from a place of someone else's missions or desires. Mm-hmm. You know, And our purpose has to be in alignment with our ideal client. It's always in alignment with our ideal client anyway. And when we are lit up about it, we are going to be able to connect our stories to someone else out there, even if it's just one person, someone else will identify with it. And then the movement, the ripple effect will start moving on. And that's how your business will blow up and you'll be able to impact the people that you want to impact.
Yeah. And then something we haven't spoken about yet with all that very interesting conversation that we're having is that basically the kind of people you will attract from being yourself are not necessarily the kind of people you would attract if you were being like a copycat or wanting to be someone else, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Definitely not. Right.
So that's why when you said also you were experiencing like it was so hard for you to do those live streamings or to send those emails or to communicate with those clients because actually they were not your tribe. They were not like attracted to the real Joyce. They were attracted to the Joyce copying someone else.
Exactly. They were attracted to that. For me, when I was starting out as well, I was subscribing to a lot of people's email. And I have to be honest here, I wasn't necessarily buying from these people. You know, I was just seeing what they're up to, you know, being nosy.
Observe.
And, you know, just observing. Yeah. And I wasn't really taking actions. But as soon as, and I knew that I created a big, not big list, but maybe about 800 people from the people that were not necessarily my ideal clients. And anytime I send them an email, the open rate was so low.
Mm.
It was ridiculously low because they were not interested in me. You know, mm-hmm. they were interested in someone else, you know.
Mm.
It's until I started to fine tune my own story, my own brand, what I have to offer, and really connect my own story into what I am doing and living on brand, people started to be very interested in what I have to do or what I have to say.
Yeah.
And from there, they booked a discovery call. And from there, they made a payment and things like that. And things started to roll for me.
Hmm. So what happened then to those people? Did you say, well, okay, now that I've made this shift, right, and I have attracted so many people that are not really my tribe, did you try to reinvest them or reconnect with them, with the real you, or you just said, well, I'll start over and see what happens?
Great question there. You know what I did? It wasn't the best thing anyway, but you know what? I actually literally just did a video on YouTube and I sent it to my email list. I can't remember the topic. And I told them that you guys are not opening this email. If you don't want to be on this email list, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You can literally unsubscribe.
Yeah.
You know, and I did get some emails from people who were saying that I'm rude and my attitude is this, which I was okay with. I couldn't care less about that because they're not doing anything. They're just
exactly. They're just zombies on your list.
They're just zombie and I'm paying money to have them on my list, you know. And from there, I just kind of like, you know, shuffled the list a bit. The people that opened it, fine. The people that didn't open it, I completely removed them because I just don't like to have a big list of people that are not taking action. Some people are just putting dummy emails there anyway.
Yeah.
So mostly every year I always send the same video anyway. I still send it out and tell people to leave my list because I don't necessarily feel very good when I send an email to an email list of 5,000 and get 1%.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make me feel good at all. So for me, I just prefer to release the list and have space for people that jive with me because that's what lights me up. Because then I noticed that about 50% of the people are opening it, man, I'm going to go ahead and write another email.
Of course. Yeah. And I think that's what some people don't understand, right? Because at least you take time to address it to your list. And if they're not interested, well, they have to unsubscribe. First of all, it's better for you and for the person because anyway, it's just crowding their email inbox for no reason because they're not opening it. Second thing, well, it helps you because, I mean, it's better for your statistics. You have a better conversion rate if all those people not interested are out of your list. And then third, well, you make more room for those who really appreciate what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that keeps me high vibe because I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the statistic, to be honest. I'm not going to say that I don't like getting really good feedback from my emails. I do. But I'm not going to say that my whole value is based on my list. But if you are creating value for people, why wouldn't you be happy about it, right?
So
when I get good feedback from people on my email list, it allows me to tweak my email a little bit. If I'm adding value to their life, if the emails I'm sending is helping them solve a problem, that allows me to convert more based on this statistic. But if people are not opening it, then I'm like frustrated that I have to go into groups and start promoting. And I did that when I was just starting out, but now I don't want to depend on groups. I want to be able to just nurture my own list, have people that are excited to be in my orbit and be of service to these people.
Yeah, of course. Well, I love the conversation that we're having here because I just feel, actually, I just finished my coffee, but man, I would still be needing to drink that coffee and look at the fire, you know, like something like that. So many people and so many entrepreneurs are introverts, and I know that you are an introvert because I read it on your bio. So I feel that we do understand each other in that sense because I'm definitely an introvert. So how have you succeeded, if you think about your journey, to find your uniqueness, embrace it, and make it your brand personality? Like, how were you able to break those barriers, whatever, to just be able to communicate, conversate, and connect with people? Because I know a lot of introverts, they enjoy themselves behind the computer, but not necessarily sharing with their live streamings, or they just write, they type, and that's about it. But how have you been able to do it? And maybe you could help someone who's pretty, pretty shy here listening to you right now.
When I, to be honest, I don't even know if I was an introvert or extrovert. When I was starting out, I was very kind of like introverted, but problem is for me, it came from my childhood, was women don't have a voice. It's the way my parents raised me. And like my dad always tell me that black people don't make it in white, you know, in London or Europe, I have to do the lowest class job to make it, or I need to marry a rich man to make it in life. So mine came from my upbringing, my lack of confidence. I wouldn't necessarily say I knew if I was an introvert or extrovert when I was younger, but when I grew up is when I realized that I'm somebody that likes to connect and make an impact, you know? So if someone that is introvert, to be honest, I would not say that they should go out there and start trying to be networking and trying to be who they're not, because they're just going to wet their pants, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to get pretty nervous and have sweaty armpits and things like that. They're running makeup. And they're not going to be able to fit in per se, but still we still need to connect with people, especially if we are an entrepreneur. So podcasting is an amazing way to get to engage with people, writing blog posts, being featured in amazing magazines, and being on, you know, maybe not doing live stream, but podcasting, being interviewed on someone else's summit would also be an amazing way to do it. But Monet is all about writing blog posts, being featured in amazing magazines, building your list from there, creating freebies, amazing freebies, maybe doing a teleclass. That would be an amazing way for introvert people to engage with their people. But still, they still need to get out there if you want to be a business person. Or you might have to do a partnership with someone else so that the person that is really going to be the face of the business can be the person that is out there negotiating the price and meeting up with the clients, doing the collaborations and things like that. So we just need to work on our strength and you know, and make sure that that allows us to grow our business. And if you're an introvert, because for me, as I said, I didn't necessarily feel that I was an introvert to like, I just started to own who I am. And then I realized I love to be on video. I love to do podcasts. I love to write. I love to do live streaming. I love to, you know, be on TV. I love all those things now. But it's all because I'm not self-centered. It's not about me. I'm all about being of service and creating an impressive imprint on people that when they do leave, I have helped them to make a massive decision towards their own desires.
And that's the key. I think that's the key point here. The last sentence that you just said, because a lot of people, shy or introverts, what they do is that focus too much on how they feel, right? That they're not maybe they're not good enough, or how are they going to do that? They're scared or whatever. But if you shift your focus on the person you're helping, as just what you were saying a few minutes ago, well, at least the attention is on yourself anymore. It's on those people that you help. And if you want to make an impact in the world, well, it takes a lot of pressure off your shoulders, and you know you're doing something for someone else. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it to be of service. So I think if people see it this way, maybe it's going to be easier for them.
Not even maybe, it is going to be easier. You know, a lot of people go into business to shine. And for me, I go into business to serve.
Yeah.
We all want to be willing to serve. And a lot of people go into business to shine, me. And that's when the introvert or extrovert thing might come in. But for me, I'm always having a listening ear of how I can help that person blossom.
But the the shining will come after anyways. Because if you focus on helping people, then of course it comes back at you, and you will be the person shining, because you will be the person who had made a difference in their lives.
Exactly. They would remember you. They would remember the last conversation they had with you. Especially if they took action based on what you said. Mm-hmm. You have created an impact. You have literally just created an impact or an impression or an imprint in their life that they would always remember you. And that is how it keeps on building up, that even if you have an email, they'll open it. If they're on Instagram, they will like something. Mm-hmm. Or if you're on Facebook, they will take note, because they would just say, oh, well, that girl, I remember meeting her and she just had a listening ears. You know, and she listened so much that she was able to give me the support. She was able to connect me. She was able to help me snap out of my bubbles. And they would just remember that. And from there, you can build on the conversation. I also noticed that when I do that, I started to get a lot of people following me or in my email list or Instagram or Facebook. And then I realized they start following me for a while. And that's how they get to even know who I am. Have a person, have a business owner, and then they intrigue, and then they start showing up in your webinar, your live stream, and that's how it starts to build up. And then eventually they will start asking you, what do you really do? Or maybe they already know. They start booking a discovery call, or they will link you with someone else, or they will invite you on their podcast or on their summit, and that's how you finally create a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And hearing you talk, I mean, with all this energy, I feel that could you imagine if everybody was an entrepreneur and everybody wanted to do that impact in the world, how better world we would have. Oh my God.
Totally.
Well, at the beginning of the interview, we spoke about when you were beginning, how you struggled to get your ideal clients, and we identified why. But some people, when they start, they also struggle because they don't have, like, they don't earn enough money, and they quit their job too soon. Or, like, there are two ways of seeing things. Either you quit your job and you take a leap, right? And you are in survival mode and you just make it happen because you have no other choice. And other people say, well, take your time, right? Do like get 6 months, a year of savings. So when you start your business, you have less pressure financially, and then you can make things happen. So how was it for you? And did you feel that you did it the right way?
Great question. To be honest, as I already told you, I was already laid off from my full-time job. Mm-hmm. So I didn't necessarily have the choice to save money or whatever. I would not necessarily recommend people to leave their jobs anyway. Mm-hmm. If you're a go-getter or probably somebody that takes action, you would know if you're somebody that takes action anyway, and then you can do it. But I noticed that those that do it, their mindset and wealth consciousness tends to be into fear. And then they're like pushing for themselves, and then they're like having all this energy mess up, and then they're probably not attracting the client. Mm. I was already laid off from a full-time job when mine started. And as I already said, I didn't necessarily attract clients to my first 6 months or 6 or 9 months, I think. I wasn't even attracting clients. And to be all open, I had to get a loan to get my business going because I didn't have any money. Mm. I didn't have anything at all. My husband supported me a bit, but I had to get a loan. Because I knew that I wanted to be with my kids. My girl was 3 months at the time. And I thought maybe this might be a really good opportunity for me to explore something else. Mm-hmm. And then I started to do that. But I also needed money to market my business. So I cannot just have no money be on a certification course, don't have a budget for marketing. So yeah. I borrowed some money to get my business started. So I'm not going to say that I was one of those that left a job and was a hustler. No, and I'm not going to say that I was somebody that had a savings either. My own story was I lost a job. Then I got a loan on my mortgage, on my home. And then from that, I knew that I had to make the return or I'm a failure kind of thing, because I'm somebody that never believed in myself. So I had to do something and get results. And I felt that if I did get results, it's going to kind of like make me feel a little bit good, which is not necessarily a good thing to put our confidence on external things. But that's how I felt at the time. So yes, I would not recommend people to do that. And when I was starting out, I didn't have any confidence. So I had to practice. You know, I practiced with a few people, I think about 50 people for free. I did a lot of free things to get started. And I did that free things mainly because when my husband told me about my new branding idea, I had to ask people that were following me and see maybe it's a valuable idea that people want to invest in. So they structured the offer for me. They told me this is what they'll buy from me. This is what they love about me. This is not what they don't like. They told me exactly what they will buy. And then from there, it was easier for me to put a package for $500 at the time out there, and I sold it out. You know, and from there, I started to gain the confidence. I had 10 people that bought at a time. And from there, I thought, wow, my God, I have 10 clients that are going to work with me for 4 weeks. That boosted my confidence a little bit. I raised my price and I started to grow gradually. It really depends on who you are, the type of work that you want to do, and stop copying someone else. Just grow the way you are able to grow, and things will blossom its own way. Instead of you copying a system, you need to just fine tune a system that you have and kind of work with it with your own personality or your own way, you know?
Thanks for sharing that. I mean, again, I'm sure that some people listening are in this situation. Either they're just been laid off, or either they're thinking about it if they're still at their job and unhappy and wondering, what should I do about it? But just sharing your story there, I mean, of course, you inspired some people to have that reflection and decide what they want to do afterwards. Before we end up this interview, because time flies, what would you say, Joyce, has been the strategy that you implemented in your business that gave you the most unexpected results?
It would have to be my storytelling. That it has to be that when you know your brand so well, you go out there and live your brand. I always tell my clients, you cannot be in business and have a boring life. Then you have nothing to share. Trust me, you gotta have a life. No matter where you are in your business, you have to have a life. And I decided to ignite possibility into my own life. You know, I started to go out there and look for things that excite me. And I infused that into my business, and I started sharing stories like that. Even though I call myself a branding or marketing coach, I don't necessarily share from that perspective, because there's a lot of branding coaches out there.
Yeah,
I share interesting stories that ignites possibility in me and ignite possibility in the people that are following me, following me as well. So that's what happened, because people saw me from being a security guard, because I shared the story of me being a security guard, being laid off, losing 50% of my hair, to somebody that gradually started charging 500 euros to about 1,000 euros to 5,000 to growing and growing and growing to 7,000 and growing. So everybody saw me grow from somebody that was just starting now to this. So it's the story that people are seeing that, wow, she can do it, I can do it. And that's what ignites my brand, and that's what really revolutionized my business and catapulted to where it is right now.
So this is the moment in the interview where a lot of people are going to say, crap, it's already over. Yes, it is. So if they want to know more about you, where should they go online?
They can join me on my website called enchantlife.com, on Facebook, Joyce Aladipo, on Instagram, Joyce Aladipo, on Twitter, Oladipo Joyce. And I have a free gift for anyone that wants to join me as well. Do you mind if I share?
Of course, share.
Yeah, they can get my free gift on enchantlife.com. And in there, I shared 15 tantalizing incentives to help you get your first 1,000 subscribers by next week.
Okay. So enchantlife.com, that's what you said.
Yep, cool. That's it.
Thank you so much, Joyce, for such an energetic and dynamic interview. It was so much fun to have you on the show.
It was such an honor. I'm so excited to be speaking to you, and I hope I'm able to add some values to your audience and have their questions answered as well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Remain blessed.
I was right, wasn't I? When I said it was going to be a great interview filled with actionable steps. So I know you are looking forward to put these things into action right now, today. And I want to ask you something. Would you mind going on iTunes and leave a rating and review to show your appreciation of the show? First of all, I really enjoy when you do this, because when I read these, it fills me with a lot of love, and also it pushes me to continue doing what I'm doing. Today was episode 221, and I'm quite proud of it, and I'm really happy that you've been following me for such a long time, and that a lot of people tell me great stuff about Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. So go on iTunes, leave a rating and review, and I'll really, really appreciate it. So I just hope that you are having a great week, and that you're enjoying yourself, and that you're smiling every day. And next week, I'll see you again for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.